voice of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer, Travel with Valerie Delia, Nicole Sapphire, MD, Senior Medical Contributor to Fox News Channel, and Physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. Legal expertise by Arthur Idala, Attorney to the Stars, and Christine Nicholas, the quintessential heartbeat of New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other. United to bring back New York. And now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
Crews searched the area for weeks on end, bringing in underwater specialists, canines, and teams of people. And then, just last night, Laundrie's parents said they were going to go to that reserve and do their own search.
Well, that search has been concluded as of just a matter of hours ago, because the body of Brian Laundrie has been found, and we are anticipating that this will impact the investigation and the death of Gabby Petito. Here to discuss all things legal tonight, Arthur Idala, freshly back from a little quick trip getaway to Iceland. Arthur, you're looking warm and svelte tonight,
if I do say so. First of all, you just started that off with Shep Smith, whose show happens to be on right now on CNBC. So people may be confused. They have the TV on, the radio on, they're hearing us, they're seeing Shep. I mean, you know, God bless the modern technology, because I do often have Shep on at 7 o'clock at night when I'm simultaneously listening to Kevin's show. But Iceland was great. Shep actually texted me a little while ago, wanted to know when he was going to hear about the adventures. I would highly recommend it to people. It's a short and easy trip. The flight's easy. I know you traveled a lot. I feel like when you get to a country and you get on a plane and you get off and you're traveling quote unquote internationally, when you get to that new location, everyone speaks English. It's like you're cheating. It's like it's too easy.
It's I didn't really leave America.
Right. And everyone was so welcoming. And I would probably say the biggest complaint I had, and maybe the only complaint I have, was that there were so many Americans. There really were a lot of American tourism. Maybe it's because they have a very low coronavirus numbers in Iceland, but it's a very welcoming environment, and it's a photographer's dream come true. I mean, there's just so many picturesque views, and you know, in one, you look to your right and there's these glaciers all covered in white, and you look to your left and there's these waterfalls that are all with all green moss around them, all these huge mountains, just, you know, really, really beautiful. And the food was great. The cod was fantastic. I'm not a fish and chips kind of guy, but I understand why you would want to eat that there, because they literally pull the fish out of the water from catching it and throw some batter on it, fry it up. And wow, it's
hard to beat that. Yeah.
No, well, it was great. I will say I drank a lot of beer, Kevin. I'm not a real beer drinker, but for some reason it just seemed to be what was being drunk.
When in Iceland, do as the Icelanders.
And one more tiny little silly thing. This is between two buddies like you and I are. During the pandemic, especially during the shutdown, and I was alone for a while in my little house in Long Island, and my family was down in Florida. And, you know, I'm not great with alone time, like all alone time. So I used to keep on in the background the movie on a loop, The Big Lebowski, which stars Jeff Bridges. It's a funny, it's kind of a cult movie. It's a Coen Brothers movie. And when we get to Iceland and we're walking through the main strip in Reykjavik, I could see the sign. It says The Lebowski Bar. And in Reykjavik, they have a theme bar, and it's all about The Big Lebowski.
Huh.
And I drank more White Russians this week. I had more milk this weekend than I by far had probably in the last 2 years. Because anyone who knows that movie a little bit, the main character, that was his libation, was a White Russian, which is Kalor, vodka, and milk. And boy, and you shake it up in a shaker and then pour it out with the ice on it, and it's all creamy and frothy. And boy, Kev, those goes down pretty quickly. I know you're not a stranger to a good beverage. And
I can imagine, yeah.
It was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Well, you're now the fourth person in what I would consider my circle that has gone to Iceland, and you're the second one this year that I know of that's been there. Carol Markowitz, the columnist for the New York Post, took her whole family just a few weeks ago, and she said it was unlike anything they had ever planned for in terms of a family trip. And I'm just curious, was it already getting cold there when you were there? Because it's north of us.
It was not, you know, it was by far any, like, really cold. None of us, it was four of us who went, myself and three of my law partners. None of us were cold at any point. The only bummer part was calling back home here, and you guys this past weekend had like 80 degree weather here in New York City. My wife is like, I hope you don't mind, but I'm taking off to the beach. I'm like, the beach? I'm on a glacier in a snowmobile.
That's hilarious.
But no, it was never super cold. I think, and it was never super dark. You know, they have a weird way of, you know, Imran, obviously, he's been a guest on your show, my partner. He lived in Iceland for 2 years, 17 years ago. He was in the film production business. He did one of the Batman movies out there. And so he had a bunch of friends. So he met his friends. And, you know, it's crazy because, like, in July, the sun goes down at like 10:45 at night. And it gets up and, you know, it rises at 5 a.m. And right. Then, like, in January, there's like 4 hours of sunlight. So it takes a special person to live in Iceland. But, you know, I guess if that's what you know and that's what you're used to, it's your home. People look at us here in New York City and think we're out of our minds. I will tell you, my Imran's Icelandic friends who spent time with the four New Yorkers, they thought, you know, we were out of our minds just because of how we were. One of them said, you guys should only drink decaf coffee because you're naturally caffeinated, you New Yorkers. So it's,
no, that's not only true, it's very insightful on their part. That's Arthur Idala. We missed him last week because he was in Iceland, but he's back live tonight. We're glad to have him. We've got a lot of breaking news to get to tonight. They have found the remains of Brian Laundrie. They believe that he is the skeletal remains and whatever else was left of him that was found near where his possessions were found this week, just a couple of days ago. And we'll get into what kind of that, the implications of all that is. But there's also a couple of other interesting cases we're going to talk about tonight. In federal news, the attorneys general of Texas and Missouri have launched a lawsuit against the Biden administration. You may know that they just won a lawsuit against the Biden administration on the Remain in Mexico policy. This is a lawsuit similarly crafted, I'm thinking, to try to force the administration into completing the building of the wall, at least in the state of Texas region. And so we'll talk about that. And then we've got a firsthand report of a case. And Arthur, I said this a couple of weeks ago. I stand by it. I think that your firm is going to be increasingly besieged with people that are in this day and age concerned about COVID, and they're concerned about the vaccine, and they don't necessarily want to be told what they can and cannot put into their body. And I think that we're going to see a lot of litigation over the vaccine mandates because they keep getting rolled out and people keep objecting to them. So, but that's not what this case is about. This case is actually has to do with religious belief and some of the stuff that kind of ran out from there. And it is Arthur's case, so he's going to be in the know on all of that. The phone number, if you want to join us, is 877-970-2999. 877-970-2999. But if you are just here, it was just probably 2 hours ago that the first alerts came across saying that those bones that they had discovered not far from the possessions of Brian Laundrie have been determined to be him. And you know what, Arthur, almost immediately I had people texting me and even asking me, my bride did when I got in just before dinner, she said, you know, what? How do we know? You know, and is it likely that he was killed by someone else, or is this suicide? Is this massive guilt? You're a former prosecutor. Now you're a criminal defense genius. We'll get into all of that. And what, you know, does this rob the Petito family of closure on some level? Because they were wanting to see him prosecuted if he was considered the murderer of their daughter. We'll talk about all that and more coming up. And again, if you want to join the conversation, it's 877-970-2999. But it's legal night. we're off and running, and if you can stick around, you're going to get educated on all these areas and more. And don't forget the podcast, always free if you miss any of it, at SoundCloud, Amazon, Apple, Audible, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, and about 100 others. So go check it out, Radio Night Live. Coming right back from New York. Don't go away.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians, and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition, and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. 800-651-0798. Use that promo code JOEP or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code JOEP. You will also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and MyPillow towel sets. 800-651-0798. Promo code JOEP.
Hi, AM 970 listeners, Steve Adubato here. On One-on-One, whether it's politics, pop culture, business, or Broadway, we've got the conversations you want to hear.
There is always something to learn.
Do you enjoy talking politics?
No.
That's a good question. High five.
So check out my show, One-on-One, weeknights at 7 p.m. on NJTV and 12:30 a.m. on WNET 13 and online on NJ.com.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. Catch my friend Steve and his great lineup of guests every weeknight on One-on-One with Steve Adubato.
The Army National Guard plays a vital role in your community. We're on the front lines supporting essential personnel, first responders, law enforcement, and medical professionals. Delivering food, supplies, and medicine. Keeping communities safe. Making a difference. During emergencies, we're always ready, always there. Learn more about part-time service in the Army National Guard at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Be sure to tune in each and every Sunday morning at 10 for the Buddy Foy Jr. Show with entrepreneur, restaurateur, and TV personality Buddy Foy Jr. Buddy will be talking with a variety of guests about issues that affect all of us. It's the show where business meets politics to help you succeed. That's the Buddy Foy Jr. Show, Sunday mornings starting at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
Fishing, loving every day.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
Always going, don't know where. Always showing, I don't care. Don't love nobody, it's not worthwhile. All alone, I'm running wild.
And now, from New York, Radio Night Live, here's Kevin McCullough.
So glad to have you with us on this Legal Thursday. Arthur Idala, of course, my partner in crime on this particular endeavor every week. And Arthur, breaking news throughout the evening here. The Laundry family has been notified that the bones found in Florida, in that Florida swamp, are in fact the bones of Brian Laundry. Now, before we get to the the Petito family reaction to this. Let me ask you, it's my understanding they had opened up not only a look into Brian as a person of interest, but there was increasingly, the FBI later issued a warrant for his arrest on charges related to the bank card. Do we know if he was ever formally charged with the murder of Gabby Petito, and where, what happens to those cases that are open when he's dead? Do they just drop them and pretend like they just don't even have to look into them anymore?
Well, I have no indication. There's been no reporting that he has been formally charged or was ever formally charged with her murder. He could be. I mean, there's something, at least in New York State, called an ex-indictment, where a prosecutor goes into the grand jury, which is a secret proceeding without anybody knowing, and charges someone with a crime. And then they just go out and they arrest somebody on that crime. And the whole world doesn't need to know about it. So is it in the realm of possibilities that happened? Again, Kevin, I always watch my words because I'm not a Florida lawyer. I'm not a Wyoming lawyer. In Wyoming would be where he'd be charged with a homicide because that's where this took place. I'm a New York lawyer, but in New York, that could definitely happen. But there's been no indication whatsoever that he was charged with her homicide. He was just merely a person of interest.
Right.
I mean, what it does is maybe just take some of the mystery out of this whole case. I don't think, from the way they talk about his body being decomposed and they had to use dental records to identify him, I don't think that it doesn't sound like at this point there's going to be any evidence recovered, at least from his body, that is going to answer any questions about Gabby's death. Now, there is a backpack that was found. There is a notebook that apparently is soaking wet that they haven't even opened until it gets dried out. Could there be something in there, some evidence in there, or written confessions in there? But, you know, someone asked me, I was on a television show earlier about this. Oh, you know, can he be charged with the death, you know, posthumously, or however that big word is, right. Meaning after his death.
Right.
No, the answer to that question is no. You know, and they're, well, what about his parents? What if they did something wrong? I say, well, first of all, there's no indication that his parents did anything wrong. Second of all, think about it, Kevin. If his parents did something wrong, meaning they really, after he's charged with a crime, they really, you know, went out of their way to hide him, they just paid the ultimate price, right? I mean, their son's dead. Yeah. Son is dead. Well, what are they going to do?
He's not
give him a
back.
Fine? They're going to give him a fine? I mean, so it's a chill. There's two families that are devastated. If you extrapolate it out between everyone that Gabby knew and Brian knew, there's thousands of people who are probably, or hundreds of people, let's say, who are, you know, very, very, very sad over the past 6 weeks since Miss Petito has been missing. But, you know, what this shows is if Brian committed this crime, and let's face it, it certainly seems that common sense would indicate he did. I mean, there's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt, but it seems like that's the direction this case was going in. We need to focus on domestic violence. We need to focus on identifying domestic violence and nipping it in the bud. And we've done, look, this country has made leaps and bounds in that direction. And I'm very, very proud to have worked for Brooklyn District Attorney Joe Hines, who created the first domestic violence bureau in the United States of America. That, oh, you know, it was lawyers who only focused on treating victims of domestic violence. And then my partner, who I know you've spoken to, John Leventhal, who's the judge. He's the first judge in the United States of America who had a courtroom only dedicated to crimes of domestic violence, trying to, you know, fix it, trying to help the victims with social work and therapy, and trying to make sure that the defendants, you know, learn their lesson and make sure they didn't do it again. Because it appears, you know, don't forget, Kevin, there was that video when the police got called and she's hysterical and they made her stay in the car and they made him go sleep in a hotel room. And I'm sure those police officers, I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but I'm sure if they could, you know, hindsight's 20/20, they would have taken action a little bit more strenuous than the action that they took. And ostensibly Gabby would be alive today. So
yeah,
it's
who knows, though? Like you say,
no. I said ostensibly. The one thing that hasn't really been covered is, I believe, while they have been looking for Brian, not Gabby, I think, but Brian, they found four other bodies.
Yeah, that's.
I think they found like four other missing persons, maybe five. I lost track.
Yeah. Well, in those amazing Florida swamps, you got to think if people are going to do themselves in, that's probably a fairly good place to do it because they're not going to be thought to be looking for them there. Let me do some breaking news here from the Petito family. They have released a statement. Gabby's family, this is Rick Stafford, who's the family attorney for the Petito family. He says, Gabby's family is not doing interviews or making a statement at this time. They are grieving the loss of their beautiful daughter. Gabby's family will make a statement at the appropriate time when they are emotionally ready. And I have to wonder, Arthur, and I know you're not a psychologist, but when you're on something like this, and you know, they had to take the hard news a few weeks ago that her body had been found. They were able to determine that the cause of death was, I think, suffocation.
Strangulation, I thought it was.
Yeah, strangulation, which, you know, is a pretty violent way to die. And so obviously from that moment till now, they've probably been on the path of, well, we need to get, you know, justice for Gabby. Is this justice for Gabby? I mean, how do we measure that? And how do you ever pay for the loss of one's daughter, particularly if it's done at the hands of a crazy boyfriend who just got into a fight with her and had, you know, overpowered her. And that was that. It seems to me like both families are going to have a lot of healing to go through yet, because we're not going to get what we would normally think of as closure, which in their case, they were probably hoping for at least that he would be sent to prison for a significant amount of time.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, let's face it. He was in a state where he could have gotten the death penalty had he been convicted beyond a reasonable doubt and sentenced to death. He ultimately did get the death penalty a lot faster than he would have had he been charged with a crime and gone to trial, et cetera, et cetera. So depends, I guess, on your beliefs. I mean, I'm not a big death penalty person because I'm in the system. And I know that even though it's a great system, it's far from perfect. And I'm not comfortable with, you know, killing someone to show that killing someone is wrong. But if the Petito family is of the mindset that had he been prosecuted in that state, they wanted him to get the death penalty. Well, he did get the death penalty. And it sounds like it was a pretty gruesome death himself. I mean, again, Kevin, I'm repeating myself, but you didn't hear that they had to use her dental records to identify Miss Petito. But they, right, for them to have to use dental records to identify this guy, that his own parents aren't able to say, oh, yes, that's him. Yeah, God knows the condition that his body was in when he was found. So, and they may
well,
not
and
even
as a
be
former
able to
prosecutor, not, what does that tell you? If you were prosecuting this case, he's been dead a while.
He's clearly been dead a while, but it, you know, he's also in some rough conditions. So it's very different. You know, I don't want to be flippant about it, but if you're on a glacier in Iceland and you die, your body's going to take a lot longer to decompose than if you're in warm water in
the
Florida,
swamp. Yeah,
right, in a swamp where there's all kinds of animals and vermin and bugs and fish that would eat off of your corpse. So, you just struggle with the human aspect of this. People initially gave Brian's family a hard time because they were not cooperating with the investigation based on the advice of counsel. Kevin, I would tell my clients the same thing. I mean, I would give them the option. I would give them my advice. Obviously, they're the ones who make the ultimate decision. But if my child was charged or was being investigated regarding a crime where he faced the death penalty, I'm pretty positive that I would not be the person to be handing over evidence to law enforcement that could give my son the death penalty. You know, that's just me. I'm not saying I'm right, I'm wrong. That's just how I feel.
So that's the breaking news. When we come back, we've got a couple of other cases to kick around. You stay right here. It's Legal Night on Radio Night Live.
Okay, some good news during a challenging time for everybody, and this could really help. You may know hundreds of thousands of people have already made the switch to MediShare, which is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And with so many people looking at how they pay for healthcare right now, seeing premiums going up or the cost of COBRA plans, MediShare has a special offer, and a lot of people are taking advantage of it. Simply apply by October 30th and they will waive your new member fee. That's $170 savings. And of course, that's just a start. The typical family saves $500 a month after making the switch. MediShare is a Christian community that has shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it's worked beautifully for decades. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Here it is. Call 844-57-BIBLE. That's 844-57-BIBLE. 844-57-BIBLE.
Are you worried about having lung cancer? I worry about everything, of course. But instead of worrying, go see my friends at Trinitas for a screening. If you're between 50 and 80 years old and have a 20-pack year smoking history, you know, like if you've been smoking like that, or even if you've quit in the past 15 years, listen to me, please. It's no joke. It's time for a lung screening. Give them a call. Make an appointment right now at 908-994-5984. It's 908-994-5984. It's low-dose painless. Non-invasive, fast and easy, and only takes 30 seconds at Trinitas to have a screening, and it could save your life. Finding out if you have lung cancer while it's still curable makes all the difference. If you catch it in time, you can beat it. Screenings are covered by most insurance. Do it for your family. Do it for yourself. Just do it. You can count on Trinitas to take care of you. 908-994-5984. Make an appointment. It's 908-994-5984.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM970, The Answer.
68 degrees. We have generally clear skies on this Thursday evening. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, a nationwide manhunt for Brian Laundrie is over. The FBI is confirming that human remains found at a Florida nature reserve are those of Laundrie. The FBI says they made the confirmation with dental records. Reports say the FBI told Laundrie's parents at their home in Florida. Police have been searching for him as a person of interest in the Gabby Petito homicide for several weeks now. The area where the remains were uncovered were previously underwater in the dense and swampy parkland in southwest Florida. A warehouse owner in Queens is under arrest following accusations of illegally stored propane tanks. James Flippin has more.
This is at a site in Willits Point, just blocks away from Citi Field. Fire inspectors say they've issued violations at the warehouse before. Owner John Terrell charged with reckless endangerment. FDNY Deputy Chief Fred Schaff says this kind of improper storage puts fire inspectors and other first responders at great risk.
We're not aware when we respond to a scene what is illegally stored on our premises. So you're putting the lives of our firefighters in danger.
In 2019, two workers died at a junkyard in the Bronx when propane tanks exploded and caused a huge fire. James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New York.
Thank you, James. Taking a look at the traffic, 15 to 20 minutes outbound at the Holland Tunnel, 15 inbound from the Turnpike, 20 to 30 from 1 and 9. Lincoln Tunnel, 15 in, 5 to 10 back to New Jersey. GW Bridge inbound upper level, 20 minutes downstairs, about 15 minutes. Both levels remain very slow right across the span. In New Jersey, Parkway southbound, slow ride from 143 down to 136 in Cranford. That's all because of an accident being cleared. 78 westbound, very heavy in the local lanes approaching exit 56 in Newark. That's emergency construction work. Your forecast, partly cloudy tonight, low 62. Sunshine, steady temperatures tomorrow in the middle 60s. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM970TheAnswer.com. From New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
Well, we're so glad to have you with us on Legal Night, and we're so glad to have Arthur back from Iceland because I couldn't handle any more legal questions. They just went into a huge pile, and we said, well, we'll get to all of them when Arthur gets back. Hey, Arthur, in all seriousness, we are glad to have you back. Page Six has a big story tonight about a Broadway star that this is how the Post puts it. Tony nominated star suing the show that he's most recently been with, Come From Away, alleging that he was fired for his Christian beliefs. Now, he's reached out to you, Arthur. What's the context of this story? What is kind of the crux of the issue? And what do you think's going to happen here?
So Chad Kimball is a very nice man. He started in the show Come From Away, which is a huge Broadway hit. It's a huge international hit. But here in New York, it's a Broadway show. He started in 1,100 performances of it, 1,100 performances of it. Before that, he was in the show Memphis. You know, he's a legitimate Broadway actor.
Yeah.
And so during the COVID, he put out a tweet that it said, the governor, it was not New York, it was the state of Washington, said that they were only going to allow church services for 25% capacity, and that there'd be no choirs, and that only a soloist can sing, but that the parishioners, the people who are just going to church, had to wear masks, but even wearing the masks, they were not allowed to sing. And so Chad put out a tweet saying, no one is going to stop me from singing, period. And no one especially is going to stop me from singing about my God and my faith. And you know, and then he made clear, I will wear a mask. I will never be maskless. But no one, I will respectfully disobey this order. And I will go to church and I will sing in church. Somehow or another, this was November 15th of 2020. So it was the beginning of the second wave of the coronavirus. Somehow or another, that tweet about Christianity and singing about God gets conflated with January 6th of 2020. And he basically gets told that fellow cast members and producers on the show and workers on the show don't feel safe around him, are not comfortable around him based on that tweet. And I will not, no one's going to stop me from singing to about my God. I'll wear a mask, but I'm still going to sing in church. And he then gets told basically that he's not welcome back to the show.
Now I want to slow down to go fast here. Picture this, friends. This guy has done 1,100 performances. This
without
cast,
a problem.
This cast, totally fine with him being in the cast. Totally fine with him being on stage. Totally fine with him, totally. Except for this tweet that exists from nearly a year ago on Twitter. They had to go into his archives to find this.
Yeah, well, but they reached out to him. Yeah, I mean, it was way back. It just, the part that doesn't make sense, Kevin, and this is really important for all of your listeners. Because someone expresses their belief in God, somehow or another, that gets tossed into January 6th and overthrowing the Capitol. I mean, you want to talk about painting with a broad brush? I mean, that is ridiculous. And when he asked, am I not being asked back because of my religious beliefs, or is it because people really don't like me? She said, a little of both. Now, you cannot say a little of both.
There you go.
You can't say that. You can't say, if she said, yep, Chad, people don't like you anymore. Well, that's one thing. But you know, it's a little of both. A little, you can't tell someone they don't have the job because they believe they're Christian. You're not allowed to do that. And, you know, it's really upsetting. And it was not easy for him to bring this lawsuit because he now has a real big scarlet letter, so to speak, on him. It's going to be very hard for him to get a job on Broadway again. We wanted to reach some sort of a settlement, but they were not willing to do so. And they also said to him, ready for this, Kevin? We need to diversify the cast a little bit more. Do you know how they diversified the cast? They filled his role with an Asian American. No other roles were changed. No other actors were fired. Just him. And they made it clear beyond all doubt that it had to do with his profession,
of his faith,
belief in God and his faith.
Well, and I guess, Arthur, that's all the tiny little crack in the window that you guys need to drive home the First Amendment right argument in court. So I'm assuming that's what you will be pursuing in the days to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the suit has been filed. I'm sure they're going to reply and they're going to try to deny things. But we have unequivocal evidence. I mean, we have audio tapes.
All right.
Where they're telling them why. So watch out, folks. Just remember, those tweets have ramifications.
Even when they mention God. Stay with us. It's Radio Night Live. Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians, and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition, and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been honoring America's heroes ever since. This year, the foundation is bringing 200 mortgage-free homes to Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children and to our nation's most catastrophically injured veterans and first responders. Frank Siller connected where America was attacked on foot from the Pentagon to Shanksville to downtown Manhattan, where he retraced his brother's footsteps on 9/11. Thanks to your support, Towers of Light returned to the Pentagon and Shanksville memorials again this year. For the first time, our country recognized the people we lost to 9/11-related illness through the foundation ceremony. And another first is planned for Veterans Day. Those lost in the War on Terror are having their names read aloud. Honor our vow to never forget. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, and then t.org. t2t.org.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
There's no doubt about it. America is in the middle of a culture war. The battle between left and right is real. One side believes in American greatness. The other wants to tear it down. This radio station and the Salem Radio Network is looking for a few warriors who are already fighting this war. This is your chance to nominate a person worthy of the honor of being Salem's Culture Warrior of 2021. Go to the station's website and click on the banner. Help us select Salem's Culture Warrior of the Year.
Go to am970theanswer.com.
The following is a paid political announcement.
Have you heard his attack ads? Phil Murphy's lying about me again. I would too if I had his record. I'm Jack Cittarelli. Phil Murphy's failed us at every turn. He told us he wanted to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast. He wasn't kidding. Phil Murphy increased state spending $11 billion. Are you any better off today than you were 4 years ago? Murphy's about to raise taxes on businesses who barely survived his shutdown, and the rest of the country is lapping us in economic recovery. The lines of motor vehicles are a joke. Crime is raging, with murders and gun violence up 40%. And he tried to ban cops from notifying parents if their kids are caught with drugs or alcohol. Who does that? And while New Jersey has the highest property tax in the nation, Phil Murphy says if taxes are your issue, then we're probably not your state? Come on, Phil. With a record like that, no wonder you want to change the subject.
New Jersey can do better. With Jack Cittarelli as governor, we will. Paid for by Cittarelli for Governor, Inc., P.O. Box 427, Somerville, New Jersey.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Lonnie Perkins, thank you. And thank you, friend, for listening and being here every single night of the week. This is the only place on the radio dial of New York City that you can find helpful information every night on these specific topics, totally dedicated to the task of helping our city come back from this really rough season that we've endured and starting to come out of. I mean, it's, Arthur, it's the month of September, for me at least, lots of public events and lots of gatherings again with people. I was at one with you, the Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens, and a couple of others. But it feels so good to have at least that amount of life kind of back to normal, regardless of everything else. But not everything is good for everybody everywhere. And this brings us to the third case that we're talking about tonight. The attorneys general of Missouri and Texas recently sued the Biden administration on what's called the Remain in Mexico policy, and they were successful. That was a successful lawsuit that they filed. Now they are going back, kind of using the same tactic and strategy to sue the administration again. But this time they want the administration to pony up and finish building the wall that they started. Arthur, why were they successful with the first case? And do you think the legal doctrine is sound that they're making the argument on? Are they likely to prevail this time around?
Well, the argument that these two states are putting forth is that, look, There was a budget that was passed. There was money set aside in this budget for this specific purpose. There's already been, I don't even know, I think Fox is reporting $100 million in materials to build this wall. And is it, does the President of the United States and the Director of Homeland Security, who's also named in the lawsuit, do they have the power to just say, well, even though Congress voted and they passed in this budget this particular spending item, and everyone knew about it, you know, if you dig down deep, these are legislators elected by the people, that this is what it was, this is what won the day in that particular Congress, and do we have the right now to basically turn back the hands of time and just say, no, where even though it was passed and the wall is partially up and $100 million, you know, you got to wrap your brain around how much money that is, has already been spent on these materials that are not exactly look like they're going to be repurposed. We are saying that the United States of America, the federal government, does not have the power to overturn what we as taxpayers in the state and our respective states, we've paid our federal taxes. We right. put our people in Congress and we put our people in the Senate. We won the day. We got our wall and now we want our wall. And this is a case that will eventually wind up in the United States Supreme Court is my guess. Unless there's some sort of obvious procedural error in the way that was this was filed. I would like to think that two attorney generals of two different states crossed their T's and dotted their I's,
yeah.
and that you know, that's not going to be an issue. And, you know, it'll be argued, but I think it's a good point. Hypothetically, if Biden signs legislation that says, you know, there's going to be education for every three-year-old in the United States of America, and that Congress passes a budget that sets aside $1 billion for education for every three-year-old in the United States of America, and then the next president comes in, be it Democrat or Republican or independent, says, no, even though we've already spent all of this money to set up classrooms and hire teachers, now we're going to scrap this whole thing of educating all these three-year-olds. You know, people look at it, oh, the wall, and you relate it to Donald Trump, and it becomes controversial. Just let's have the argument in a way that has no controversy. I don't think anyone's right. going to argue about educating three-year-olds. You know, if you look at it in that context, does one administration have the ability to wipe out the approved spending of a prior administration? I guess we're going to find out what the United States Supreme Court has to say about
well,
that.
Well, and let's talk line. Precedent for a second, because if they used kind of the same thinking for the Remain in Mexico policy, which they just recently were successful with, and you're right, that did go to the Supreme Court, I believe. But they were kind of on that same, I think they were kind of making the same general statement or basis for their argument. Would that tend to make you think that they will prevail on the merits, even on the argument as you described it, which is, it makes sense to me. Look, the people that represent us there are doing our business, and we send them there, and we send them there to do the work on our behalf. This is an expression of the will of the people. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Chief Justice, whose name is escaping me, Mr. Roberts, said that he didn't want to overturn Obamacare, because he is very reluctant to take the will of the people at any given point in time and say, no, we as the court can just, you know, do whatever we want to with it. That would seem to me that this would have some merit to it in terms of making the argument on this was passed. This should be observed.
Yeah, and I don't see a case like this falling along political lines. I could see it falling along legal lines, more legal ideological lines, that where the people on the court who were appointed by President Trump, especially Justice Barrett, who was a student of Justice Scalia, she clerked for Justice Scalia, I could see them, you know, really digging deep into the text and what the law is and what the precedent has been. And then I would think, just to back up your point, the way the Chief Justice said, you know, I'm not eager to overturn Obamacare, which was passed by the legislature. I would think that a budget item that was passed by the legislature, that was such a predominant budget item.
Right. You know, this is the main reason he got elected. Yeah,
exactly. This wasn't buried in page 932. I would think that they would look towards trying to keep it in place. But
Then there's this other aspect of practicality. You've seen the video reports. All of those supplies are down there. They're just sitting there in huge stacks upon each other.
Yeah, as they said, they were $100 million from being used.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Imagine what you could do with that money. I mean, it's just what a waste. And that's your money. That's our money.
Yeah, we paid for that.
Believe me, I don't even want to get into what my taxes are these days. It's really preposterous. And yet it gets spent like it's water. Like it's not my money. Like they didn't take whatever it is, 30 some odd percent out of my last paycheck. And that's just the feds. And then there's the state. And then there's the city.
Right.
And then there's FICA. And then, I mean, wow. Wow.
Well, we didn't have time to get into Katie Couric and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which was also a very interesting story this last week. Well, I'll circle back with you on that in the future. But I didn't know this until the passing of Scalia. But when you look at the breakdown of the justices on the court, did you know that there's only about 40% disagreement between the two most extreme ends of the bench at the Supreme Court? In other words, RBG and Scalia actually agreed 6 out of 10 cases at a time. They only disagreed on 4 out of 10 at the most, and everybody else was, you know, somewhere on the continuum beyond that. Anyway, when we come back, it's Esquire Etiquette, final segment, Legal Night with Arthur Idala. Stay here.
Numbers mean much to me because of prostate cancer. I'm Johnny Braggs, the number 2. For my stepfather, who died of prostate cancer, and my uncle, who suffered so much after prostate cancer surgery. The number 15. 15 years since Dr. Lederman's successful treatment of my prostate cancer. The number 0, which is my PSA. 0, after Dr. Lederman's successful prostate cancer treatment. What every man wants. The numbers 1, 2, 3, 4. Important for every man with prostate cancer. 1, getting the most successful treatment. 2, avoiding radical robotic surgery. 3, keeping sexual function. 4, maintaining urinary control. Call my Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES, to consider his prostate cancer treatment for you. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. 1384 Broadway at 38th. Call 212-CHOICES for prostate cancer treatment. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES. I'm glad I did. You'll be number one with Dr. Lederman.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition, at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians, and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition, and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
Join Patrick Cullen, president of the Supreme Court Officers Association, for In Your Court, focusing on the challenges facing our criminal justice system and their impact on New Yorkers. That's In Your Court, Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 970, The Answer.
Dinesh D'Souza can teach you a thing or two.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
Where have we heard that before? Well, the first time I really heard it was during the hostage crisis. Remember? Jimmy Carter, in which this superpower, America, is just being humiliated day after day after day. Well, those days are here again.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard.
Want more? AM 970 The Answer? Go to AM970TheAnswer.com to listen live. Tune into podcasts from the shows you missed anytime you want. Learn more about our advertisers. Join the AM 970 fan club and sign up for events. AM970TheAnswer.com.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Larry Elder is next on AM 970 The Answer.
Wow, wow, wow.
Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
And I got to say, we're so happy to have Larry back on the air. He came this close to being governor of California, but glad that he's able to retake his post in the world of talk radio. Arthur Idala is our legal expert on Legal Night. And Arthur, I kind of had to cut you off to go to the break. It looked like you wanted to add something to the RBG. No,
all I was
going
to say about the United States Supreme Court in general, I remember Scalia making a joke, like, because in the Constitution, you don't have to be a lawyer to be a United States Supreme Court justice. Most people don't know that. And Scalia used to say, well, why is everyone a lawyer who is on the court? And the majority of the cases at the Supreme Court are pretty boring. I mean, really, I've gone to see Scalia. I've gone to see Justice Alito. And, I go there. I watch the arguments. But I learned my lesson, Kevin. I look at which arguments are being argued at that day. And then I call their chambers and ask if I can come see them on the day that those arguments are on. Because a lot of them are these like tax laws and water right laws and air right laws. And to the justices, it usually turns out that the answers are kind of evident. And as you could say, I mean, from one side or the other, they agree 60% of the time. And then of the 40%, there's only a handful that are really controversial. There's only a handful that the public is really, really interested in.
Well, and so then the two extremes of the two parties take those two or three cases that are the opposite end reaction, and then they drive those, and they make the American people think that the court is 5-4 on everything, when in reality, the vast majority of stuff, they're actually much closer on than we traditionally
think. You and I covered so many
think.
Cases. We covered so many cases before they broke. There was 9-0. This past term. So before we go, Kev, I under the Esquire etiquette umbrella, I just want to give a shout out to a really good guy, a guy who you know of and probably everyone who's listening knows of. His name was Tommy Jefferson. I believe he was the third president of the United States.
Yes.
And the New York City Council just voted to remove his statue from the city council chamber. And last night on the mayoral debate, one of the answers that I totally agreed on with Curtis and totally disagreed on, although he didn't really elaborate, Eric Adams, they just asked him, should Thomas Jefferson be removed? And he said, yes. Curtis said, well, they've already voted to remove it. So what I say doesn't mean anything, but it should be repurposed somewhere else on government property. You know, Thomas Jefferson is, he's coming right up to behind behind Christopher Columbus is getting a ridiculously bad rap. Yes, there's no doubt that Thomas Jefferson inherited slaves. Yes, there's no doubt that he kept slaves. Of course, no one talks about that. He was the first governor in the world. He's the first leader in the world to ban the Atlantic slave trade. He was the one who wrote about getting rid of slavery. And the only reason why in his writings, he said he was not in favor of immediate emancipation. He says, what are you going to do? You're just going to let these people go? Where are they going to go? They have no money. Well, they have no jobs. They have nowhere to live.
Well said, Arthur. And you're leaving us hanging for more.
Not such a bad guy, Thomas Jefferson. Not such a bad guy.
I could have dealt with him sticking around for a while. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow night. Don't go anywhere.